are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is a beautiful, sunny day here in Philadelphia. We're all ready for spring, but I understand it's going to get colder towards the end of the week again. So even though your daffodils may be blooming, get ready because we're still expecting a cold snap. And for this, we're grateful. For this, we're grateful. But let us begin. It's March 9th, 2026. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to pray the Anima Christi. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Let me never be separated from you. From the evil one, protect me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer this program up to you, all the equipment, all the people behind the scenes. We ask that you protect all of us in your heavenly glory. I pray today for peace in the world, all the ends of the earth. We pray that your kingdom will reign and that we will be at peace. I pray, Lord Jesus, in particular, for the Middle East. I pray for the Ukraine, Venezuela, the United States, of course, Lord Jesus. We pray for peace and protection. And for peace and protection for all the families, all those who are listening, all those who wanted to listen, and, of course, all the prayer petitions that are called into this radio apostolate and all those that wanted to call in but couldn't today. So, Jesus, we offer this all up today, and we pray for your protection through your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, my friends, I have a very special program. Don't I say that every day for all these years? A very special program, but it's going to be in different segments. Because this saint actually, well, I told you the story, I think, 2.5 weeks ago about Saint Charbel getting on the elevator at the hospital. So a lot of you have said, well, who is Saint Charbel? I thought I'd give you a little background history on Saint Charbel so you can intercede before God the Father through his intercession. Now, you can spell it C-H-A-R-B-E-L or S-H-A-R-B-E-L. It's just a little bio on him. And he was a Maronite Lebanese monk and priest. He had a reputation for holiness and for his ability to unite Christians, Muslims, and the Druze. That's D-R-U-Z-E. He was beatified in 1965 by Pope Paul VI. He was canonized in 1977 by Pope Paul VI. Now, the major shrine of St. Charbel is in Lebanon at the monastery of St. Marin. His feast day, according to the Maronite calendar, is July 3rd, but according to the Roman calendar, it's July 24th. He's known as the Miracle Monk of Lebanon. And why? Because of so many favors and healings through his intercession. Now, I also shared with you about on the 22nd of every month, if you look up St. Charbel Church, it's in Media, Pennsylvania, they have a healing service with the relics and the anointing of the sick. And if you look it up, and sometimes if there's bad weather, they will change the site. But I hope to try to get there for the first time ever because I have passed it in the past. It's by St. Mary Magdalene Church in Media, Pennsylvania. Again, it's St. Charbel. And if you want me to share that story again, the Lord will reveal what happened because my husband and I have been praying to St. Charbel because of Monsignor John Essef, who is a cousin of St. Charbel, for a few years now. So I invite you to pray to him today to intercede before God the Father. And he was a great unifier between Christians and Muslims. So I ask that you pray to him for whatever it is in the desires of your heart today. So what is the theme the Lord placed on my heart today? Are you ready? Is your prayer life rather ordinary? Is it boring? Is it ordinary? And how are we going to ramp it up today? So don't think that you're going to fall asleep yawning at this radio broadcast. Call your friends and your neighbors. We're going to ramp up your prayer life today. And again, at the end of the program, I am going to pray the Father Peter Rookie miracle prayer. At the end of the program, I will pray this prayer because so many of you have asked for it. And I thank you and praise you, Jesus, for all that you're doing through this radio broadcast and this radio network. All right. Is your prayer life rather ordinary or boring? I want you to answer yourself. Yes, if you're in the car, you're at your desk, you're in the kitchen, you're doing homework with the kids, most likely it's yes. Now, most of us, if we're honest, we'll confess that our personal prayer times are rather, well, they're rather ordinary most of the time, if we're telling the truth. We get up at the usual time. We go to the usual place, don't we? We sit in the usual chair. We drink the usual cup of coffee or tea. And after years of daily prayer, we've settled into a pattern of prayer that helps us make us contact with the Lord, right? Now, most of the time, nothing terribly spectacular goes on. It's ordinary, it's routine, and you're really comfortable, not expecting much, but you're just going through the motions. But have you ever considered what an awesome privilege prayer is? I want you to answer that question. Have you ever considered what an incredible thing it is that you and I, of all people, can come into the very presence of the God of this universe, and we can speak to him? We can pour out our joys, our sorrows, our fears. We can read his word in the sacred scriptures. We can sit at his feet and listen to him speak directly to our hearts by the working of the Holy Spirit. Yes, 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 all that is precisely what happens each and every time we pray. Now, no matter how ordinary or boring the outward circumstances of our prayer time may seem, now, we come into the presence of the living God, no matter how ordinary your life may be. We encounter him person to person. We converse with him, and we draw life and power and wisdom from him. It is the one that enables us not just to grow in God's love for ourselves, but, my friends, it helps us to extend his love and mercy and powers to others. And what is that called? Intercession. We have done dozens of programs on intercession. Jesus is the intercessor. He is the mediator between God and man. Yes. And as Christians, we unite with the intercession of Jesus by praying for particular people and particular needs. And that's what this radio broadcast is all about. When we beg God for mercy, and I ask you to include the word mercy in your prayer. Beg God for mercy today, or plead with the Lord on behalf of another. We're joining Jesus' intercession. We're uniting our prayer for that person or that need with Jesus' eternal, unending intercession. My friends, God answers our prayers because Jesus, our mediator, is pleading our case before God the Father. Now, sacred scripture tells us this. It's not me making it up on the air. Sacred scripture tells us that Jesus always lives to make intercession for us. And that's from Hebrews 7, verse 25. Now, when our prayers are united with the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy, they come before the throne of God, and our Father answers them. A true intercessor is one who makes a long-term decision. to plead on behalf of another. Look at St. Monica. What was it, 16 years for her son, St. Augustine? Now, write this down. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, God asked for the prophet for people to stand in the gap for others. Now, if you're praying for your son or daughter to return to church, or for someone to be healed, or for your financial situation to become healthier, or you need to pray for another person in that situation, then you're standing in the gap. That phrase helps us to capture the essence of intercession. When you say, okay, I'll pray for you. Okay, I'll pray for you. So many times I've heard from people, oh, why do you ask for prayers? Why are you asking for prayers? You know people don't pray. They might say, oh, okay, I'll pray for Ann. Well, even if they say, Jesus, help her, or Jesus, help him, that's intercession. That's praying. God's plea that more people become intercessors shows what a crucial and neglected role it is. We all need, if you're listening today, to become intercessors. Now, there are so many passages in sacred scripture that tell us how much the Lord looks to his people to stand in the gap for others. Are you aware of that? Do you have a concordance or a study Bible? Now, one passage is in the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to read that directly from the book of Isaiah. The Lord saw the wickedness of the people, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intervene. What a tragedy. God could find not one person to intervene, to intercede, to plead before him for mercy. There's that word again, mercy, on behalf of the people. Is the same thing true today? I want you to answer that. Is the same thing true today? Can God find anyone to intercede for peace in the world or peace in our families? Is the same thing true today, my friends? Or are there men and women of God prepared to stand in the gap? If you're listening to this Christian radio network on WTMR, most likely, you're standing in the gap. And this is why you need to tell others about the radio network and the radio programs. Because as you're standing in the gap, we all have a responsibility to tell others to stand in the gap, not stand still. Now imagine, just one person, you, pleading with God, could have served anybody from judgment and saved us. This is the power of intercession. This is the value God places on intercession. It's equally true that God wants us to join in prayer with Jesus, standing in the gap for those without faith. Now, I know there can't be one listener today who can't think of one person who is living without faith. Now, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those in sin, those who are maybe too ill to pray. I've been there. I've had moments when I've just been too ill to pray, and people stood in the gap for me. The people from this radio network stood in the gap for me when I couldn't pray. Today, the Lord's asking you and me to intercede. We're going to be powerful interceders, and interceders, intercessors, and people standing in the gap. We all know the condition of the world. All you have to do is turn on your social media, the TV. I can't say read the newspapers anymore because they're very few. The painful problems of violence, poverty, lust, greed, and all the rest. Now, everyone is affected by such problems. There can't be one of you or one of us that isn't affected in some way. We know the particular problems facing members of our own families. And who among us does not have problems in his or her own personal life? If you do, write in and let us know. God looks at our problems and tells us that he has given us a powerful tool. That's the tool we're going to take out of our toolbox today. And we're going to hold it up to the cross. My friends, I don't care what denomination you are. We are holding this tool, getting it out of the toolbox, holding it up to the foot of the cross, and begging God for his mercy. This tool can move mountains, and we're going to move mountains by the blood of Christ today, the power of intercessory prayer. It's hard for us to believe this. We are, aren't we, the instant generation. I've told you many times with my middle-aged grandson, he thinks if his prayers aren't answered, God isn't real. Well, I keep saying, well, God's not a vending machine where you put in a prayer like a quarter and pop out comes the candy or the tasty cake if you're in Philadelphia. And that's not how God works. But we are an instant generation. We push a button and a bank machine places cash in our hands, right? And we open a box and our dinner appears, or we order it and it arrives at our door. Now, I'm not talking about the conveniences of modern life being bad, but when the instant results mentality infects our view of prayer, which it has, we can really get into a lot of difficulty. And we often do not see instant results. And this is when the faith of so many of you who are listening fails. I'm giving up. My prayers don't work. Does that sound like you? I have prayed and prayed and prayed. I've had my family, my prayer group, my church, my pastor, everybody's praying, and nothing is working. You are listening to someone who says that all the time. I have so many people praying for a particular prayer intention. Nothing seems to be working. But I'm believing that God has relief and healing in store for this one person. If we've expected instant results, we can easily become discouraged. And we give up. Don't we give up? It's that instant generation mentality. Intercession requires perseverance. Now, I want you to pray for perseverance today. We also, my friends, have to resist the temptation of saying, oh, I'm just too busy to pray that much. Or God may be calling someone else to that, but not me. The fact of the matter, friends, is that God calls each and every one of us to intercede. Now, the New Testament is full of exhortations to pray. Thessalonians 5, verse 17, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Know your scriptures. Christian teaching through the ages contains exhortations after exhortation to pray. Now, God does not present intercession as an option. Okay. So you're just tuning in, and you're thinking, I pray. It's God is not having you listen today. Intercession is not an option. It's a duty, my friends, a duty that comes right along with the privileges of being the Lord's child. That's right. Will God look upon our generation and be forced to say, I looked for one to intervene? I found no one. Or I searched for someone to stand in the breach, but found none. Or will he see a people before him like we are calling forth today, pleading for his mercy for this generation, this nation, this world? Who among us will answer his call? Now, when we come before the Lord to intercede, we must first of all repent of our sins. We are in the season of Lent, a time of repentance. Now, did you know? Well, a lot of people don't even know what the word repentance means, especially our younger generation, under 40, the teenagers, the kids. They don't know what repentance means. We cannot expect to engage in real intercession, asking God to do all manner of things for ourselves, for our families, for our nation, for others, unless we're right standing before the Lord. That's right. The prayer of a righteous man has greater power in its effects. And that's in the book of James, verse 5, verse 16. I'm going to read that scripture today. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. And that's from the book of James. We become righteous when we repent of our sins and beg God in his mercy, there it is, beg God in his mercy to bestow his righteousness upon us. Now, this is how we get into the right place before God. Now, I know many programs throughout the years, people say, well, how do I get right with God? How do I discern God's will? My friends, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The frame of mind and heart that enables us to intercede effectively comes from a repentant heart. Are you ready to have a repentant heart today, my friends? If you're listening, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will descend upon every listener and this radio network in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring all of us to have a repentant heart. There is tremendous joy in repentance. Now, when you go to confession, if you're Roman Catholic, do you sense relief? Or is it just a cafeteria-style thing that you do? Oh, I think I'll go to confession, and God will forgive me. But we need repentance. If you're not Catholic, you repent of your sins, and you ask God to forgive you. He will. Ask him for your mercy, his mercy. He will give you his mercy. There's joy in this. Please do show me my sin, Lord. I want you to ask that right now. Please do show me my sin, Lord. Every time we repent, we know more of God. Every time we repent, we have more of God's life and the more of his joy, more of his peace, more of his presence, and more of his hope. These blessings are the fruit of repentance. Now, when you hear the term fruit, it means the good things that come out of it. A lot of times in theology, you'll hear the fruit of prayer or the fruit of living a good life. The fruit means the good things. So these blessings are the fruit of repentance. And when we come before the Lord to pray for others, for the serious needs we have, brothers and sisters, we must first repent of our own sins. We must be humble. We must be sorry. We must be willing to change. And those who are listening who are Catholic should regularly go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation and repent. Do we become righteous men and women whose prayer will have great power in its effects? The scriptures challenge us. Yes, they do challenge us to boldness in intercession. And that's where I'm taking you today. Boldness in intercession. This is why my voice is bold. I'm not being soft today. I'm being bold. We are to stand in the gap and plead with the living God for his mercy and his grace. Now, the only way to do this, considering how awesome our God is by being humble and repentant. Humble and repentant. Now, as someone who's taught PrEP or CCD for decades, ask a teenager today, what does humble or humility mean to you? They don't know. They have no idea, no clue what humility is. Or to be humble. Just ask. I'm challenging you, grandmoms and grandpops, or moms and dads. Ask your teenager, what does being humble mean to you? What does humility mean? So the Lord is asking us to be humble and repentant. Now, we also have to learn to intercede as part of God's people. We didn't come today before the Lord simply as isolated individuals, especially if you're listening to this radio broadcast. We do it as part of the larger community to which we belong, the body of Christ. We are all members together of one body. We share in the condition of God's people, apart from our own personal condition. Now, if you're listening, individually, we may not be guilty of greed or lust or violence, but because some of our brothers and sisters are, we share in the consequences they bring upon all of us, especially in our families. It's important that we understand our relationship to others in this way and to intercede from that relationship. Yes, we are called to understand our share in the condition of mankind. We're also called to do what Moses did. He did not turn his back on his people. He went up to the Lord as a representative of his people, interceding on their behalf. Now, once these attitudes of personal repentance and identification with God's people are part of our lives, and this is what I am praying for all of us today, we're able to repent on behalf of God's people. Yes, Nehemiah provides a striking example of this, of intercession. O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God who keeps covenant and steadfast love for those who love him and keep his commandments, let thy ear be attentive and thy eyes open to hear the prayer of the servant, which I now pray before thee day and night for the people of Israel, thy servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we've sinned against thee. Yea, and I and my father's house have sinned. We've acted very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinances which thou didst command thy servant Moses. Nehemiah 1, verses 5 through 7. Now, Nehemiah wasn't saying that he himself had committed all those sins. He was praying in repentance for all of God's people, begging the Lord's forgiveness and mercy for everyone, himself, his relatives, the entire people of God. And when we come before the Lord, we too and should ask God's mercy and forgiveness. Add the word mercy to your prayer life. God honors such prayer. And my friends, he hears and responds to it. We have so many scriptural models to guide us, don't we? Remember Abraham's prayer for Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember Moses' prayer that the people would be spared from the plagues? Remember Ezra, Nehemiah, and David? Remember how Jesus prayed for his disciples and how they prayed for those that they brought into the Christian family? Now, these were righteous men who stood in the gap. Stood in the gap. Remember that term. Who interceded for others before the throne of God, and God heard their prayers. He wants to hear your prayers today. I don't care where you're listening from, a computer, Alexa, Google, the radio station live. God heard their prayers. We're called to pray in a similar way, my friends, not in self-righteousness, but with humble and contrite hearts. When we do, the Lord will hear and answer our prayers. The Lord told Isaiah in the sacred scriptures, "This is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." We need to take those words to heart and let them guide our intercession. So how important is intercession after hearing all this? How important is intercession to the Lord? Oh, it's important that he provides intercessors for us. Sometimes even people we do not know. Yes, sometimes people we don't even know. I know I never would have been able to do the things I'm doing today to be of service to God's people in this ministry he has called me to, were it not for people interceding for me and for my life, complete strangers. If God places this much value on intercession, we should as well. After the break, my friends, when we come back, I have so much more to share. And don't forget, we're going to pray the Father Peter rookie prayer, and I have so much more to share with you. I am asking you today, is your prayer life rather ordinary? And by the end of this program, it will not be ordinary. You will not be ordinary. You will be a committed intercessor before God the Father. So stay tuned. After the break, I'll be back with you.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic. And this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today. We're talking about, is your prayer life rather ordinary or boring, and how God is calling us to serious intercession, particularly because of the events in the world and our families and all that we need to be doing. And I'm so grateful to be with you in so many ways, because the Lord is touching this radio network in extraordinary ways, and I thank God that I'm a small part of this after all these years. So most likely God's calling you to pray, if you're just tuning in, for those involved in wrongdoing and for the victims of their sin. So if you're looking at the news, or you're looking at your family, or maybe there's drug addiction or alcohol addiction or pornography, pray for that person in a special way and for all the people who've been affected by the sinfulness of that person. You, therefore, are standing in the gap, my friends. Whoever or whatever Jesus calls you to intercede for, just do it. I remember many, many years ago, I think I was in my 20s, and I did not go to church. I was a successful businesswoman. I had a nice, lovely apartment on the main line, and I was doing very well, and I just didn't see the need to go to church. But my mother prayed constantly, interceding before God the Father and the Blessed Mother for me to return to church to pray. And I remember laughing and saying, sure, you know, I would go once in a while, maybe on Easter, maybe Christmas with the family, but I really didn't care about church at that time. And then when I was stationed in Wyoming on, it's called a strip mining site, in the middle of a prairie, I was sent out there when an entire department was let go, and I was saved to go out there in on a prairie, and no one was Catholic. So I thought, great, well, it doesn't matter. And I didn't even know where church was. And it was a riot because I had cactus and prairie dogs and everything out there. And the people just, they didn't go to church. But the difference is on Sundays, they really followed the Lord's day and they didn't work and they had family picnics. And we're talking about in the middle of a prairie, not in a neighborhood. And that really moved me and touched me in a very special way. They were living a good Christian life. And I was very touched by these people who had family gatherings and family dinners and invited me, a total stranger from Philadelphia, in the middle of Gillette, Wyoming. And so one day I was, as I shared in the past, someone that I was very close to died learning to swim for me. We would all go out to these cliffs outside of Gillette, Wyoming, and swing a Tarzan swing off these gigantic cliffs, not little ones, and swim. And I loved it because I was raised on a river, and it was fun. And so some of the people, one time I was very sick, and I couldn't go out with the group to the cliffs and to go swimming and boating and water skiing. And so this person that I knew very well did a Tarzan swing off the cliff and drowned. And I blamed myself because I was, you know, pretty rough and tough. And like all of you guys don't know how to do a Tarzan swing off a cliff. Are you kidding me? And so this person's body was found a week later, and it was tremendous suffering for me. And I remember my mother praying for me to come back to Philadelphia, not to live out there on the prairie. And I went, I asked, I don't even remember who I asked. I think it was the head of the mining site. Is there a Catholic church anywhere? And again, this is not a town, it's a prairie. And they looked up the name of a church, which was 20 miles outside of town. Yes, 20 miles. Again, it's not neighborhood to neighborhood. And I went to church, and my mother had been praying for me to go to church. And I looked around, and there were a lot of people in church, and I was surprised. But they were not from a town. It took them over an hour to get there. And I was very moved, and that was part of my what I call the reconversion back to my faith. It was the intercession of my mother's prayers and a tragedy that brought me back to the Lord. And so I know the power of intercession, and it was my mother, actually, who prayed me home back to Philadelphia because it was so painful for me to be out in this prairie, even though I had made friends who were working with me at the mining site. I had made friends, but it was my mother's prayers that really, really touched my heart. Her prayers were so powerful. Not one day went by that she didn't sit in a recliner and have a stack of prayer cards and pray the rosary for all of us, for the children, the grandchildren. At that time, I wasn't married. My older brother and sister were married. So she prayed, and boy, were her prayers powerful. And so she prayed me back. And I remember the intercession of her prayers. And I've shared this at Thanksgiving as part of my testimony, but it's the power of intercession. And I know you like the stories, but I worked for an oil company who owned the mining company out in Gillette, Wyoming, and I was transferred back as an executive at the age of 25 into Philadelphia with a full staff. And it was someone who worked for me who was doing a dissertation on the charismatic renewal, and this person asked me to read the dissertation, and I really still didn't go to church. It was to please my mom. I would go visit them for Sunday dinner from my apartment and go to Mass with them if I could. And so I read the dissertation. I was very moved. And then it was a really horrible snowy day in Philadelphia, and I had to take a train to my apartment on the main line. And this person who worked for me lived in New Jersey. And St. John the Evangelist Church was open, and they had confessions in the afternoon. I'm not sure. I have no idea if that still happens. But after reading the dissertation, I said to the person who worked for me, do you want to go to confession? I haven't been to confession in years. And she said, oh, okay, but it's snowing really bad. I'm not sure we'll get there. And I said, okay, well, I felt a zeal in my heart to get to confession. And I went, we walked blocks to St. John the Evangelist Church at that time. And she went to confession first. And then I went to confession. And I felt as if a load of bricks had been taken off my heart and my soul. And I remember I didn't care if it was a foot of snow. I was so joyful in my heart. And I knew that it was the prayers of my mother over all the years. And she prayed to the moment she died on her birthday in 2005. She died on her birthday. She prayed and prayed and prayed. And she was a faith-filled woman who had a very hard life. And I remember the person who worked for me said her life changed by that sacrament, that snowy day. And my life changed that day. So I firsthand knew and still know to this day the power of a mother's intercession. And I can't speak highly enough about the power of praying for someone who's in trouble, who's in wrongdoing, and all the people it affects. Because I was alone, and I hadn't been to church, and I didn't care. And it wasn't that I was into wrongdoing. It was I just didn't. I was very successful. I had the money, had the apartment, had the friends, I had the trips all over the world. I really didn't think I needed God. And I think perhaps today there is someone listening who has it all. And you're thinking, I don't need this radio broadcast. I don't need all this prayer stuff. This is for my sister, my brother, my neighbor. I'm doing well. Well, guess what? You're the one that needs the prayers. You're the one. I was the one that needed the prayers. Always thinking that it was someone in terrible trouble or an alcoholic or drug addict. Or I always thought that it was really for someone like that. And it is, my friends. But I was someone sitting on top of the mountain. And that mountain came crashing down. And I didn't know what to do. But it was the prayers of my mother, the prayers of my mother that brought me back to the Lord. And that one dissertation written by an employee who worked for me, who was my entire department. They were 10 years older or 20 years older than me. I was a kid running a huge department for an oil company. And how a mother's prayer can change things. I then learned at that moment the power of intercession. And as I shared with many of you, I call it my reconversion story, which is a whole other story. A woman who worked for Billy Graham prayed over me at a prayer meeting. I still had my apartment. I had started to look into prayer meetings and what that would mean. And I attended a prayer meeting, and she laid hands on me. And she quoted a scripture. And I remember it well. And she worked for Billy Graham in advertising and marketing. And of course, I didn't really care about Billy Graham at that time. I didn't care about anyone. But it was very moving, and it changed my life. And that prayer group on the main line changed me dramatically. It was a reconversion. And then I started to move away from that idolatry of self, that narcissism of I am great, thou art great, and to look at the needy and the poor. And those who were into wrongdoing, to pray for them. In particular, I wanted to share a story of someone in my department, not who worked for me, worked endless hours. He was a single guy. He worked endless hours. And I remember going over to him at lunchtime saying, you're never off. All you do is work. And he said, well, I have to. I have to keep my job. I have to. He worked weekends and nights, and he was such a dedicated employee. Well, the following week, he was pushed into the train tracks at Suburban Station in Philadelphia and was killed. And I remember being devastated, but I also remember the company went on like he never existed. I was stunned. That had such an impact on me. All the hours, all the years he dedicated his life to this company, He was pushed on a train track and was killed. And the company went on. Sure, everyone went to the funeral service and they were sad, but everything went on. It didn't miss a beat. And then it hit me. What am I wasting my life on? A company? What am I doing? God has called me to something more. So maybe there's someone listening today. You're working and working and working, and you're ignoring your family. You're ignoring yourself, your own health. And you're thinking, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. No, you don't. No, you don't. That moment changed my life. I remember telling my husband about this young man who worked so many hours and how the company went on. And yes, companies do go on. Ministries, parishes, churches, they all go on. Yes, we know that. But his commitment was to his job. I don't know if he knew the Lord or not, but it impacted my heart that I needed to intercede for those working in the company who had no life at all. And so I have a sensitivity to people who commit their lives to their jobs, which we have to. We have to be committed employees, at the expense of losing our families, at the expense of losing our families and those precious moments that we have to be with our families. Are we interceding before God the Father to become better Christians, become better intercessors? I'm asking all of, including myself, I'm asking this question. Are we better intercessors at spotting people in need of prayer, in spotting our need for prayer? Remember the words humility and mercy. So if you consider all this, our prayer lives are not just ordinary, because if you look all around you in your workplace, in your apartment building, in your neighborhood, in your parish, your prayer group, your Bible study, there is someone that needs your prayer. And you may think, well, I don't really know that person. But God does. So maybe you do a general prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone in my Bible study or in my office or at the supermarket today when you're walking down the aisles, to pray for the people in the supermarket or maybe for the people who have no food. Pray for someone you would never, ever think of praying for this Lent. Make it a powerful Lent of repentance, of God's mercy and grace. This, my friends, will make your prayer life more than ordinary. It is the key. See, God wants us to become spiritual warriors. And that's what a mother's prayer is. That's what St. Monica was. God wants us to become spiritual warriors, men and women who are seriously committed, fervent intercessors. God is extending an invitation to you today if you're listening. And even if this becomes a rebroadcast down the line, it's an invitation, if we accept it, can free us from anxiety, frustration, and pain. The Lord is offering you today a tool to take into your hands and use to build up his kingdom. Now, we don't have to throw up our hands in despair at this moment about situations that trouble us. And trust me, I do that every day. We no longer need to ask, what can I do, when confronted with a need in our own family? You see, intercession is a powerful weapon. We can use it and see great results. And someday, when I'm back in the studio, I want to hear those results. Or write to the radio station and tell them the power of intercession in your life. Or write to the radio station and ask God for prayer from a stranger. And that's the power of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Because the network accepts the prayers. Those of you who are alone in a nursing home, maybe in prison in your heart, maybe in your own parish, maybe you've just lost a loved one by murder or suicide or an accident Pray for the person who hurt you and your family. Intercede and ask God to bless them. And in doing so, you are released into the arms of God the Father, my friends. We are released. Will you stand in the gap? Who will intervene for your family, for your church, for your Bible group, for the state of the world today? I truly believe God is issuing right at this moment an invitation as well as a command, a mandate, my friends. Who will answer? Are you going to answer? How can we pass up the opportunity, the challenge, the ministry God holds us out to us right now at this moment? I beg you to take God's word seriously. I beg you today to take God's word seriously. So let us pray, my friends, together with the Father Peter rookie prayer that I promised we will pray. Pray with me, and I'll pray it twice, because we need to be intercessors for all those we don't know, for those who've made mistakes, for all the suffering of everyone who's listening, and those who are not listening. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. In your name, I forgive all others for what they have done against me. I renounce Satan, the evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Okay, let's repeat it again. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come before you just as I am. I'm sorry for my sins. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me. And in your name, I forgive all others for what they've done against me. I renounce Satan, the evil spirits, and all their works. I give you my entire self, Lord Jesus, now and forever. Amen. And we will be praying that as long as the Lord leads me to share this with you, because so many miracles have happened because of this prayer. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that in His Sign Catholic Radio Network is being elevated to the highest point on the mountain with an antenna to reach all the ends of the earth. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that the people behind the scenes at WTMR who've been faithful employees, volunteers, as well as this Catholic radio network, will be blessed with God's abundant love. Immeasurable. Immeasurable. I believe and I declare it in Jesus' holy name. So as I've been doing over the past couple weeks, I want to share prophetic words given to Kathleen McCarthy, who is the president of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, from In the Silence of My Heart. Prophetic words that have the Nikhil Avstadt and imprimatur of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, which means, by the way, if you don't know, that the church approves it. There's nothing that's out of line in accordance with the church or the sacred scriptures. So this is what the Lord led me to share today, and I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, someone needs to hear this. So I tell you to continue to move in me and allow me to work in you and through you for my greater glory, so that my will be accomplished. The kingdom of God is within you, and I want you to know in those times, those sacrifices, those crosses, when you embrace the cross, and you unite my will with your will, great things will happen. So be at peace in all circumstances. Praise me increasingly at all times. and your reward will be great. And others who see you will definitely see me in you, knowing surely it is the Lord. So again, my heart rejoices when you surrender your will to my will. Oh, I know it's a little bit at a time, but the more you surrender and the more you grow in me, the more at peace you will be in every situation. You are my own beloved. You are my beautiful beloved. So many of you grasp. You grasp at all that you can grab and all that you can take. You want it all. Money, popularity, fame, fortune. And you think this is where your heart will be filled to overflowing happiness and joy. You forget my word to seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto them. And so you continue to follow after your own desires. You continue to seek those things in their lives that think will make you happy. Fools, such fools, they are because it's my life in exchange for their life that will fill them with a peace, a grace, and a strength that others will see in them that will go beyond all understanding. It is that peace, that grace, that strength, that mercy, that love that others will be drawn to. Then one day, they will realize that their lives are really empty, but full of things. And those things, oftentimes, are their own destruction. I prosper those who love me and serve me and watch over my own. I want them to know without any doubt that I am indeed their Savior, their Redeemer, Son of the Living God, that there's no other God beside me, for I've made all things and nothing exists without me. I want my people to know and understand the depth of my love for them. I'm not a God of rules and regulations. I'm a God. I am the one God. I am the Lord, the Messiah, Son of God, who takes away all the sins of the world, so that so many refuse they love that love. So many walk away from that love. And the enemy comes in and he sows in their midst seeds of ruin, pride, envy, hatred, jealousy. And this is why they seek after more, always more, because they do not realize that if they sought after me, the living God, the one triune God, that all other good things will come unto them. They do not understand that with me, they have no need. And so I entrust to you this truth, because I want you to be able to make disciples, and I want you to invite others. Tell them to come. Tell them to come. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and may your love and God bless you.
Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.